The official study guide takes a whole lesson to focus on how the Spirit works behind the scenes. Why is that important to our study? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host and study guide author. We continue our series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality, and my conversation partners are again Jen Ogden, associate pastor of the Walla Walla University Church, and Paul Dibdahl from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. So why is it important? Why would they take a whole lesson to emphasize the fact that it's working behind the scenes? Isn't that something we already know?
You sound kind of surprised that they would do that, almost like, why a whole lesson? But to me, that's usually how the Holy Spirit works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not with great flashes of lightning and thunder, but in behind-the-scenes kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. A whisper, a nudge, a prompting, and sometimes we're not even, I think, even more subtle than that.
Mm-hmm. Ellen White says that the church is the theater of God's grace, and it makes me think that in a theater, behind the scenes is where so much happens. Sets change, actors change, costumes, right? All of that happens behind the scenes, and yet this magnificent drama is acted out. Mm-hmm. And you think that if behind the scenes, there is where the Spirit is at work, that's where the action happens. Yes, there's dialogue that happens in the front. Yes, there's lighting changes, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The music swells and la, la, la. But it's behind the scenes that the story is carried forward, because without the changes, the story doesn't continue.
I like that model. That's neat, Jen.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Can I just add one thing, too? You had said previously, and I think maybe our lesson this week may also mention it, that the words for spirit, also wind and breath, spirit, mm-hmm. breath, wind, in both Old and New Testaments. And when I think of the breath kind of metaphor, to me that really fits. There is nothing inconsequential about breathing, mm-hmm. but yet we aren't usually conscious of it. So that mm-hmm. which is in a way most important is something that is somehow behind the scenes also mm-hmm. at the same time.
I like to play with the creation account in particular. You know, we're used to use the King James, you know, the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. But that can also be the wind of God mm-hmm. or the breath of God. See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you get to the Exodus, it's very interesting. You have the blast from God's nostrils opens up the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
See, so you've got a lot of creativity there. So
parallels in those two stories, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look at some of these places then where the Spirit works behind the scene. What about creation? Anything particular that the Spirit tells us, or just something that we affirm, that God was active through His Spirit?
No, I think there's no physical being that's there. And so we often think if there's nothing physical, tangible that we can grasp, hold on to, see, we assume it's behind the scenes. And since it was the breath of God that was hovering over the waters, or the Spirit of God, you know, I think often we equate that with a behind the scenes activity.
Now, it's very interesting when you compare Genesis 1 account of creation and the Genesis 2. Mm. Genesis 1 is hands off. God never touches anything. He just does it by the word. But when you come to Genesis 2, now God gets down in the muck and forms man of dust of the earth. It's a very vivid picture.
Still, though, there's a sense in which in Genesis 1, creation comes about by the word, what we would think of as the spoken word, which is related to breath, right?
Right. Yeah.
And in the second, in Genesis 2, with the creation of humanity, really the crowning act of creation again takes place with the breath of God. And this time breathing into the nostrils of Adam.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, and I just think, you know, how powerful is it that a word is what changes so many things, that a breath changes so many things. You know, a lot of us use a lot of hot air, but not much changes.
Right.
But when God is when God is present and empowering in the situation, there is powerful amazing things are happening. So.
And when you think of the human body, the breath is absolutely crucial. You cut off the breath, and the body doesn't last very long at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know of any other bodily process. I mean, you can go a long time without drinking, without eating, without sleeping, but boy, you can't go a long time at all without mm-hmm. breathing. See? Okay. Well, let's move on to this is a fascinating one, building the sanctuary. Because in the biblical account in Exodus 31, the Spirit was working, but not with words, but inspiring the craftsmen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That Bezalel and Aholiab mm-hmm. were inspired craftsmen, craftspeople.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any comment on that particular one?
I think different Christian traditions, some have greater difficulty with this concept than others. I think there are Christian traditions that respect, encourage, admire artistic activities as somehow a reflection of the divine. Mm-hmm. And then there are others that would see beautiful things almost as somehow wrong. Beautiful physical things, artistic things, buildings, sculptures, art, kind of superfluous, and you know, let's not waste time and money on those things. Let's do the work of the Lord. You know,
yeah, not
and
just so that's superfluous, interesting to maybe, me. Maybe dangerous.
Maybe even dangerous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are some communities, very conservative ones, who don't want music. They don't want art. But I think certainly the story of the sanctuary
provides a bit of corrective. I think to those perspectives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
God inspires artists and gifts them to do things that are indeed amazing, beautiful.
You know, valuable. That's been an interesting experience in our house because of my wife's illness. She came to the place where she was really struggling with depression. And one of the doctors asked, he said, well, as what's happened as you're, because it was Lyme disease and as her energy's diminished, she was putting more and more of her time into doing those things that she had to do and leaving aside those things that she really liked to do.
Yeah.
So he told her, he says, is there anything that you really like to do that doesn't take as much energy? And she says, well, I've always enjoyed art.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who know about the Adventist community, we have justified putting tons of time into music. But how many art galleries?
Mm.
Very few.
See? Mm-hmm.
But she then began to take almost at doctor's orders, you might say, and began to take a class a quarter, and now her artwork is probably her best avenue to God,
mm-hmm.
where it's bonded her in a special way.
And a blessing to speaking personally, her willingness to share that, she uses that in a way that it's not just a blessing to her, but it's an avenue for others as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and she enjoys doing that, yeah. Now, there's another interesting one here, and we're going to run out of time here before we get through the list. But renewing the community, and our quarterly points us to Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, and suggests that the action of the Spirit here that brings those bones together and makes them life is another indication of how the Spirit works with the community. You may have just dry bones, but all of a sudden, boy, things are beginning to happen because of the work of the Spirit.
I love that the Spirit is life-giving, that when God is present through the Holy Spirit, there is life. It's not optional, right? It's not an option. Yeah. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. And I think that we have the beauty and wonder of being able to see life given, even to things that are very, very dead. And I think that that gives us a lot of hope in our communities and in our families and in our individual walk with God, that even where there are dead spaces, where there is bleakness, where it seems very hopeless and very worn, that God gives life, and he gives it through his Spirit.
Now, you mentioned Nicodemus. That's another item on the list here, the new birth. And Nicodemus he wanted something more concrete.
Yeah.
And what did Jesus have to say to him about the work of the Spirit?
The wind blows. No one knows where it comes from or where it's going.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, that's a frustrating answer, isn't it?
It is. If you want concrete stuff, it doesn't really encourage you a lot. See, but you have to just simply say there's a mystery there which I may not be able to explain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last item on our list, and I think this one will take us to the time of the end, is the advocate. the Spirit. In John 15, 26, I'm going away, he says, and I will send the Advocate to you. Now, it seems to me that what Jesus has done here is taken the Spirit and put some arms and legs and maybe even a face on it so that this amorphous sense now becomes more concrete. I will send the Advocate to you. Mm-hmm. That is more of a personal representative, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of the sort of, not effusive, what's the word I'm looking for, the sort of the vapor, the mist, the Spirit, the abstract. Yeah, it's a comforter.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
like someone you can talk
like
to.
More like a friend that you can lean on and that can help you through.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus, of course, he said, I'll send that to you, but it can't come until I go away, which is kind of an interesting one. But if you you almost lose the advantage of the Spirit when you personalize it like that. Mm-hmm. The fact that the Spirit can be present everywhere, mm-hmm. you almost lose that when you talk about the Comforter.
Mm-hmm. Does it say, and maybe I don't know if I should bring this up, but aren't the words actually, I will send you another Comforter?
It is.
So, which suggests something about how Jesus saw himself, that he had that similar role, that he saw himself in that way.
Yeah. And of course, it was an incredibly painful experience for the disciples to know that Jesus was going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will send you another Comforter, like you suggested there,
mm-hmm.
someone who has the same role as Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we probably ought to talk about here somewhere along the line, there's a great line, I was going to mention it last week when we were talking about it, but there's a kind of a humorous English divine, Robert South, who said, just as he who denies this fundamental doctrine of the Godhead, he's talking about the Trinity, could very well lose his soul. He who strives over much to understand it could very well lose his wits. So there is something about the work of the Spirit that we can never really explain it.
Yeah, it so happens that this very morning, we're recording this during the week, right?
Yes.
I know the program is often played on the weekend, but this very day in class, we were talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Trinity, and very quickly we came to this point of recognizing that we can talk about it, but ultimately we have to throw up our hands and embrace the mystery, embrace the mystery, because we can't define it in the way that perhaps we would like, even.
Yeah.
So,
and of course, I think it's very helpful. Now, some people don't like the idea of mystery, but the very fact that God gave us the Spirit, and the wind blows where it wants to, and that I think is pretty crucial for us. Well, our time is up. I want to thank both of you again for helping us. Next week, we talk about the divinity of the Holy Spirit, and we'll have some opportunities to explore that. My thanks to Jared Miller, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in for The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.